Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
What's up, Fungal Associates? Welcome to Completely Arbitrary, the podcast about trees and other related topics. I am one of your hosts. My name is Alex Croson. And like always, I am sitting across from renowned dendrologist Casey Clapp.
Alex, yes, thank you. Good day.
Hello, Casey.
I had yesterday, I didn't lose my voice, but I yelled just for, you know, whatever reason.
Oh.
And my voice is hoarse today, so I might have to take a break and clear my throat and come back so I can have a buttery smooth projection.
That's important.
Yeah, I'll give you an example.
Okay. Casey has cleared his throat and?
Hi.
Wow.
Yeah, see? That's all I have to do.
No discernible difference.
Oh, what? Shoot.
Hi, Case. Well, I say hello, but we've been together all damn day.
That is very true. We're a conglomeration now.
And we reconvene here in the studio. I mean that quite literally also. This is a studio apartment. And we're here to talk about a tree, Casey.
That's right, Alex. Well...
Hold on.
Hold on. You can hear the brakes screeching on that.
Yeah. Or are we here to talk about trees?
Trees. Yeah, let's say that. All right. So I'm gonna break it to everyone like this. We're talking about the dogwood.
Okay.
Now, I say that because I'm not talking about, and rather, Alex, I'm gonna try to convince you of what I think.
Okay.
All right, you ready?
I'm ready to be convinced.
There are three species of dogwood that are not interchangeable for, you know, biological and taxonomical reasons, but for all other purposes, for the most part, they are interchangeable. Here's the thing.
This is controversial.
It is. It's extremely controversial. And I know a lot of people who'd get really, really upset about this.
Which I think is silly.
Yeah, which is fair. I would get upset about this, like very much so. Their silliness, however, I think is okay because in a lot of ways, they're right. You know, there is a difference between, you know, certain dogwoods. Some are very obvious. Some are not. We're talking about the three not so obviously different dogwoods.
And we're not talking about literal terms here.
No. And what we're talking about is more if you go out and you're just a, you know, you're a tree semi-enthusiast, you know, like you can recognize that's a cherry, that's a this.
A Croson.
Yes. And there are many people who would not be able to tell the difference between a dogwood and a cherry. They would just be like, yeah, it blooms white or pink and it's a cherry. And it's like, oh, actually, it's completely not a cherry, but that's okay. It's fine. We're just going to move on. So... this is for those people who walk outside and they're like, oh, it's a dogwood. That's great. This is for you. Those people don't tell the difference. Is that a Pacific dogwood?
Right.
Is that a Eastern flowering dogwood? Is that a Coosa dogwood? They don't know. And for all intents and purposes, it doesn't matter.
Wow. So we're talking in sort of... I'm gonna call this, we're speaking in broad specifics.
Yes, I think so, yeah. And here's the thing. These are the three species, which is Cornus coosa, the coosa dogwood, Cornus nutalii, the Pacific dogwood,
okay,
and Cornus florida, which is the eastern flowering dogwood.
Right. So in the episode title of this episode, it's going to say dogwood.
It's just going to say dogwood.
Yeah. But you get a little threefer here.
You do. You get the threefer, and the thing about the threefer is that they all look kind of the same. They look kind of the same, but they also have like very minute differences. So I'm going to say, you know what? We're just going to call them all what they are, which is a dogwood.
Okay.
Second, here's the second reason of three. The second one is the Pacific dogwood is my favorite. I love Pacific dogwood.
Well, that's because we have a West Coast bias.
Yeah, we do. We have a less, but I also because it's huge. It is, it's a, I believe my notes here, I literally have written, it gets huge. Like spit out your coffee. Wait, that's a fucking dogwood. Huge. I have that written, and Alex, true to form, I also have commas and quotes as if I was writing this in a literature class. So it's perfect. So it's, I think it's great. It's a huge, big, beautiful tree.
Yeah.
However, the Eastern flowering dogwood is ubiquitous across the landscape.
Sure.
So I think one is really cool. I think one is really beautiful. I think they're both very beautiful. But the ubiquitousness of the Eastern flowering dogwood, that's the one that 90% of the people who are listening to this are going to interact with.
Gotcha.
So it's kind of like, well, I want to throw a bone out to those, especially if you're in the East. They're everywhere.
And that's your classic pink dogwood.
That's your classic pink dogwood. It's literally the one that's growing outside the window behind me right now.
Right. Beautiful view.
Yeah. But the last thing is, those dogwoods both have a little bit of a disease that gets them. So they are starting to plant more often the Coosa dogwood. The Coosa dogwood also is a little bit tougher and it grows a little bit faster.
Mm.
So it's more resistant to this disease, grows faster. It's a little bit tougher. You can plant it in like less nice areas and it will kind of just keep going, be perfectly fine.
Okay.
A little bit more drought tolerant. It's also, because of those things, a little bit cheaper. If you can grow a tree a little bit faster, you can sell it quicker, so you can sell it a little cheaper.
Okay.
Or if there's a lot of them, there's a lot of Coosas out there.
Sounds like all upsides.
All upsides, but that that means that they just sell it at Home Depot. And so if someone says, hi, I just want to get a dogwood. I just want a nice dogwood. They go to their local tree expert at the Home Depot. Again, my notes have quotes around tree expert at Home Depot. Sorry.
Shots fired.
Oh, yeah. Whoops. Then you're going to get a Coosa dogwood. So nowadays, if this was 1950, it was a Eastern flowering dogwood.
Right.
If it was 10 years ago, it's a Coosa dogwood. So if you are seeing this beautiful white dogwood, you're like, oh, wow, that's really nice. It's probably a Coosa dogwood.
Okay.
So I am like, okay, they're essentially interchangeable now. And the last thing, Alex, and it pains me to say this, is that at the macro level, they're so similar that you wouldn't be able to tell them apart unless you specifically were trying to tell them apart.
Wow.
So it's almost like, why go through all the pains and all the trouble to do so when we can just as easily say, this is a dogwood we're talking about.
I like this, Casey. Okay. You don't have to do any convincing here.
Oh, really? I have these three things written out so that I could convince you.
You've done it.
Really? Oh my God! I'm very proud of myself.
I'll tell you why.
Thank you.
Well, you're the dice are loaded in your favor a little bit.
Oh, okay.
Because I am a man of efficiency.
Ah, yes.
And this is an efficient episode.
This feels efficient.
We're covering three trees in one.
Three trees in one.
And it's being done in a way that's not tacky or trite. It's good.
Beautiful. That makes me feel very good, Alex.
This is a good podcast.
Yes, thank
you. This is me standing in my mirror at 3 a.m.
yelling at the mirror. No. This is a good... Alex, stop it. You look... Practicing. Okay, well, I have one more caveat that I want to say.
All right, a little footnote.
There are many different species of dogwood.
Okay.
I think there's something like 45, 50 species somewhere in there. Depends on like who you're talking about, how you split them, that kind of thing.
Wow.
So let's just say there's 45 species of dogwood.
Okay.
A lot of those do not have the flowers that all three of these ones have.
Hmm.
Their flowers are like significantly different, like kind of stunningly different.
Okay.
I'll explain why they're still considered dogwoods in a second.
Okay.
But we're talking just about these three particular ones. All the others exist in their own right, and they have credit, and they might get their own episode someday. But sadly, all these siblings are so close together that we don't even separate them anymore. They all get the same name.
We're not talking about Hans Van Trapp, and we're not talking about Greta Von Trapp.
No.
We're talking about the Von Trapp family today.
Alex, we're talking about the Von Trapps today.
That was a pretty good one.
I thought that was good. I didn't know where you were going until I was like, oh, Von Trapps. Okay, that's movie. Okay, yeah. I'm with you. Yeah. So today we're talking about the dogwood, Alex.
Uh-huh.
And I have a special surprise for you.
What's that?
Well, normally, what would you say at this point?
Well, I would say, Casey, let's imagine as we do every episode that you and I are walking, in the Portland city streets,
yeah,
and we come across some dogwoods. That's what I would say.
Exactly. Or maybe you're walking along this nature path and you see this like poof of these gorgeous white flowers coming out of the side. Yeah.
And we would use our imagination to get us there.
Alex, I got news for you. This time, I don't think we should use our imaginations to just imagine it.
Okay.
I think we should use our imaginations and go there.
Well, let's try our hardest. Ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Whoa!
That's right, Alex.
Casey, how'd you do that?
With the power of imagination, I have brought you into my world, which is covered in flowers and trees and not grass all the time, but sometimes.
That's right, Casey. We are out. I don't know how this happened.
It's amazing.
The power of imagination, I suppose. We are out here in Portland in the Overlook neighborhood,
mm-hmm,
and we just happen to be standing next to one of the most majestic, beautiful trees I've ever experienced in my entire life.
I don't even know how our imaginations pulled us so specifically to this exact tree of all the trees of all the world.
This is like the Star Trek, the imagination room. What is that? What is that called?
The only thing I know
the
is
holodeck.
The holodeck.
Yeah.
Okay.
They go like they can like put themselves on a beach, to get away.
I see. I've seen them do those like where they're talking and they're like enjoying themselves and then like all of a sudden it's like and then they're back like on the ship.
In that like gray room.
Yeah. What a terrible thing.
Yeah, but this is like a real life version of
this.
This
is a real holodeck. So Alex, right before we found ourselves in this neverland of tree world.
Yes.
We were trying to figure out exactly what this tree looks like. How do I ID it? And I said, well, Alex, how about we just pull you in here? And now in front of our faces is an eastern flowering dogwood.
This is an eastern. See, if you had asked me, as far as the law of averages goes, I would have said this is a Pacific dogwood.
Ah, yes, exactly. But the thing is, if there's a tree that's planted on the streets, as we noted, it's probably one of the eastern flowering dogwoods.
It smells good, Casey.
Yeah. It does?
I think so.
Oh my god, they almost never smell.
Well, let me get a really good whiff here.
Get in there.
Thanks for recording that.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks for doing it.
I pulled my microphone away. You put yours into my face.
Yep, got it.
Maybe it doesn't. Maybe I'm smelling plant.
There are blooming rhododendron and an azalea behind us, which might also have something to do with it.
Yeah, it's a beautiful space here.
Well, Alex, let's ID this tree.
Okay.
Do you want to take a crack at it?
I'm sorry, that's my line, Casey.
Sorry.
Casey, let's ID this tree. Let's start at... You know what? Let's save the flower for last.
Ooh, okay. All right. Well, then walk with me underneath to the base. So, Alex, the big thing with this tree is it's a broadleaf deciduous tree.
Uh-huh.
And it has a really rough bark. Now, this is specifically the eastern flowering dogwood, Cornus florida.
Yeah, this is very, very pockmarked and big puzzle pieces sticking, jutting out.
Yeah, it looks kind of like alligator skin or something like that.
It does, but like
it's very rough.
Much more 3D.
Yes,
it's got a really topographic feel to it.
That's a really good. It is topographic. I think that's the great descriptor. The other thing, as you can see, as you stand underneath it, its branches kind of come out and they almost arc up and down. They undulate out into a big open, very, very like rounded canopy of a tree.
You know what it reminds me of?
What?
We just talked about the live oak a couple weeks ago.
Yes.
This has got sort of a live oak feel.
It's kind of like a miniature live oak.
Yes. Yeah.
Especially with all the moss that usually gets on it because it has such rough bark and it grows so slowly that you end up getting all these all this moss and lichen and things covering it quite often.
Oh, because it's rough, the moss can like cling to it.
Exactly.
Better?
It's got a good place to have some good purchase.
Casey, let's take a pause right there. And I just want to say we had our first passerby.
What happened?
I waved. He did not wave back.
Wow, my imagination land is horrific.
But he did look at us like we were two crazy people,
I
think rightly so.
I think rightly so. I think that's fair.
The image here is just amazing.
It's just all these wires between us talking on microphones.
We look like human computers
that
somebody put out on the sidewalk.
Here. I know. We can love.
We can love this tree. What kind of moss is this, Casey?
You know what? I don't know that sort of moss. It is something that I have not focused on, and I am shameful about that. If I can, I will type that in later so everyone knows.
Okay, I think it's pretty cool. I like moss.
Yeah. Well, so let's take a look at these leaves, Alex.
Yes.
Dogwoods famously are oppositely arranged. So their leaves will grow and their buds will be set opposite each other along the twig.
Right.
And their leaves also are simple. They are entire, but they have what's called acuminate veins. Do you see the veins on those little tiny leaves?
Acuminate meaning at the tip?
They all go to the tip.
Converging to the tip?
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
So the veins don't go to the edge of the margin.
Precisely.
They all kind of like, they're like estuaries.
Exactly.
They all kind of go to the same
delta. They curl up and around, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, we thought we were going to have birds and stuff singing, but we just have trucks driving by.
We just have diesel engines.
This is the world we live in. Yeah, it's a very unique looking leaf.
Yeah.
At first glance, it's extremely simple. It just looks like a damn leaf.
Yeah. Now you mean simple in terms of like normal.
Yes.
Okay.
I don't mean like Lenny from Of Mice and Men.
Oh no, sorry. I mean, like, in the technical term, simple also means it's not compound.
Oh.
So you're right on both accounts,
okay.
All three accounts.
Okay. Well, yeah, what do you call this shape, this leaf shape?
That, I would say, is obovate. So it's oblong, but it's also ovate, which makes it kind of look like an egg shape.
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah.
And yeah, all the veins come to a point.
There
that's
you go.
Amazing.
It's a lustrous green right now, and that's just because it's new, but they'll kind of fade to be kind of a dull green. But the big thing about dogwoods, the thing that you just can't get away from is the flowers.
Here we go.
That's why it's here. That's why, Alex, as you look down to your right, I see two. As we look down to our left, I see one. Two again, one that's way further down there. We passed and parked underneath one. We drove by on the road before we took a left, I think five in a row.
Yeah.
And then as we walk around here, for those of you who are on the Patreon, this is going to be followed up by a really fun tree walk. Anyway, just letting you know. We're going to see another 5 million of these planted in the same exact kind of area.
Yeah. I mean, you know what, Casey? Sometimes there's a tree that's very like Bradford pear.
Yes.
Popular tree.
Yeah.
Street tree here in Portland. They're fucking everywhere.
They're everywhere.
But everybody hates them.
Everyone hates them, which is so ironic. Like, why does everyone hate them, yet they're all everywhere?
Yeah.
It's kind of like Amazon, where everyone's like, oh, I hate Amazon. I'm just going to go quick order something.
Yeah.
It's like, but you can't have it both ways, you guys.
Yes, it's true.
Well,
hold on. Okay. I was halfway through a thought.
Jeez, I'm sorry.
Here's the rest of it. I think the dogwood is deserving of being so abundant in this city.
Alex! Oh my God!
I hope that's not a little tip of my cap to my score.
This is going to make our conversation after this pretty intense.
Wow!
To be very clear.
Oh no!
Anyway, we're going to skip over that for a second.
Yeah, let's talk about the flower.
Before we do, I agree with you. I agree with you.
Okay.
I'm going to be so torn in this episode. You're not even going to recognize me at the end.
That was such a weighted way you said that I agree with you. I agree with you. There was pain. There was pain in that.
There's pain. I have pain,
Casey.
Anyway. Let's look at these flowers.
You need to talk to somebody. I can find you someone.
Thank you. I'm going to talk to these flowers about the pain is really what I'm going to do.
Yeah, so these are four-petaled flowers.
Alex, wrong.
Oh, my God. Hold on.
Count them out.
I count? Oh, Casey.
What, Alex?
The little buds in the middle here, are those petals?
No, those are the flowers. So actually, I take it back. They are four-petaled flowers.
Okay.
But there are, in each individual, what you would call one individual flower, there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, probably like 10, 20, 15 little individual, teeny tiny, inconspicuous flowers in the middle of four gigantic big bracts.
Those are bracts.
Those are bracts. Look at them closely, Alex. Will you notice that they have what you would call acuminate veinage?
Yes, they do.
Yes. Those, the thing that makes the Eastern Flowering Dogwood, the Pacific Dogwood, and the Coosa Dogwood all incredible are the bracts, the modified leaves.
They're modified leaves.
They're modified leaves, Alex.
Wow.
What?
It's a leaf wearing a petal's mask.
That's exactly it. Now, take a step over here. Just next door, we have a Coosa dogwood that is growing. And you can see the same exact thing. The Coosa dogwood has about, I think, maybe like 40 different individual little tiny flowers. And then the leaves, or the bracts, they haven't quite come out because the Coosa blooms later. And that is why these are still just kind of green like a leaf. And they're just about to start coming out.
Oh, that's why these are somewhat green, because they are leaves turning into, quote, petals?
They are, basically, yeah. This is the transformation happening.
Damn. You, but, you ever read those Animorph books?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I did. Those are fun.
What would a Floramorph?
Yeah, this is a Floramorph. Ha!
Pretty cool.
The Floramorph. Well, so this one is like this lustrous, like I call it like a cotton candy pink.
Oh, yeah.
Like when you see it from afar, you're like, is there a cloud that needs to be eaten over there? I think there is.
Yeah, this is very, it's very pink.
And it's so, but it's so beautiful.
It's insanely gorgeous.
It's beyond gorgeous.
It's so full of flowers.
Yeah. And I love them, Alex. I have one tattooed. I have two or three pictures on my phone from this season already.
Uh-huh.
30 from all the other years prior. I love dogwoods.
Oh, of dogwoods.
Of dogwoods specifically.
Wow.
I think it's the only not conifer flower or fruit thing that I have on me.
Wow, because you're
the only one.
You are very strict, almost extremely strictly a mm-hmm. conifer man.
That's exactly right. Yeah. So it's
but you betray your you show your hand a little.
I
here.
Did. Yes, I know. And it's like, this is the conversation we're going to have is going to be more about this later.
Okay,
but we should hold off 1 second because we haven't talked about the Pacific dogwood, Alex.
Okay, and we're not standing next to one of those.
We are not standing next to a Pacific dogwood, but if you just wait 30 seconds, we will be.
Wow. Well, with the power of imagination, we could maybe just close our eyes and open them back up and we'll be there.
Exactly.
Let's try. 3, 2, 1, and open.
Wow. Look at this.
Casey, I'm underwhelmed.
Yeah, I know. Sorry. This is a newly planted tree.
Yeah, it's small.
And we walked over a few others, but this one actually does a really good job of showing the, this is actually probably the hybrid between the Pacific and the Eastern flowering dogwood called Eddie's White Wonder.
Wow. Let me guess who named that one.
Yeah, it's actually Wonder.
Was it Stevie Wonder named
Stevie
this
Wonder
tree?
Did.
Or Eddie Van Halen.
Yeah,
one
of
the
two. We don't know which. But I know it's a small tree, but look at the flowers and look how beautiful they are. Again, the little tiny flowers with the big white bracts coming around.
Yep.
And the smooth ass bark.
Yeah, the bark is not at all like the other bark. Is that just because it's young?
No, it stays almost like this throughout its life. It gets a little bit more furrowed as time goes on.
And that's unique
to really old.
That's unique to Eddie's White Wonder.
Well, no, it's unique to the Pacific dogwood. So this is a trait of the Pacific dogwood of having really smooth bark.
Oh, this is a Pacific dogwood.
Yes, well,
it's a cultivar.
It's a hybrid between the Eastern and the Pacific.
Okay.
So this is the flowers are white, and that is a big thing with the Pacific dogwood. If you're driving around right now in the Pacific Northwest, anywhere in the West, and you see a dogwood in bloom, if it is a white dogwood, it is probably the Pacific dogwood.
Got it.
It also will grow way, way bigger than all the rest. The Pacific dogwood, many people call it the giant Pacific dogwood, because it will grow easily up to 60 or 80 feet.
Oh, shit.
It's huge.
I can't even imagine seeing an 80-foot dogwood. I would blow my mind.
They're incredible, but they have to compete with forests that have Douglas firs and Western red cedars and Sitka spruces in it, you know?
Not so easy.
Exactly. But they grow right on the edge habitat.
I was going to say, they don't seem like they would even try to grow in the same space.
No. They pop themselves out in between areas, and they're like, hey, what's up? I'm here. And then once the green leaves come on, they almost just like disappear back into the ether of the forest.
What did we call that? There's like overstory, understory, but it was like, like an outer rim tree.
Yeah, we call them edge trees.
Edge trees.
Yeah, where they grow on the edges of habitats or like in openings or something like that, where it's not just that big thick forest of the unanimity of form.
I do want to specify something here, Casey.
Please do.
I would not call these flowers white.
Oh, what would you call them?
On closer inspection, they are, imagine like a paint palette, okay?
Okay, okay.
You take a little dab of titanium white, titanium white.
Oh, thank you.
A little dab of like a lime green.
Oh.
And a little dab of canary.
Okay.
Yellow.
Just the tiniest dabs.
Yep. And you mix it all together, so it's mostly white, but I see hints of green and yellow in them. And it turns into this beautiful cream color.
I see this.
Color.
It is. It's a very nice cream. I think that's accurate. I think looking at this one across the street, which is probably another hybrid, but it also could just be any of them, because usually the Eastern flowering dogwood is pink. You see a big pink like that candy pink color, like
that's
that one just over there.
That's
again,
Eastern.
They're literally everywhere.
Yeah.
That's the Eastern flowering dogwood.
Okay.
If it's a big one and it's white and it's blooming at the same time, it's either a hybrid between the Pacific in the eastern, or it's certainly a Pacific. Definitely if you're in anywhere that's a kind of rural or wooded area, not next to a house. Like it's growing on the side of a road, popping out from what you thought is just a bunch of maples.
Okay.
That's a Pacific dogwood.
Cool.
If it is a dogwood and you're sure of it, and it's not blooming right now, uh-huh. and the others are,
right.
that is a Coosa dogwood.
Coosa.
Coosa dogwood is the variety that we talked about that grows natively in Korea and Japan.
Not Coos Bay.
Not Coos Bay. No, that would have been funny. So the Coosa dogwood will grow. It is disappointing, but honestly, I guess that's just a Pacific one, right?
I think Eddie's White Wonder makes up for it.
It does. The way it works is you get this kind of wave of color where you get the pink, you get the white, and then there's kind of a lull, and then the Coosa comes out in full force with another big white bloom. Most of the time, it sometimes can be a little bit kind of like greenish, pinkish, you know, like little streaks of pink.
Okay,
but Coosa's normally white. And the other thing, sorry, real quick, mm-hmm. the bark of the Coosa, as it grows up, it kind of flakes off. And Ooh. So you don't get this like uniform white or uniformly like rough and rugged. You get this kind of like puzzle piece patchy bark kind of as it goes up.
Wow.
That's how you can tell the difference between what otherwise are the exact same trees.
Casey, we've walked over to this one across the street.
Yep.
It's another white one.
Mm-hmm.
So you thought maybe a hybrid between Eastern and Pacific.
Yeah, but this one looks more like it based central? On the bark. It looks like this is Central time. Do we have a mountain dogwood too? That's what we need.
Where's our GMT dogwoods?
Yeah.
This one has got like some pretty sort of like an ombre effect in their leaves.
Ah, yes, I see what you're saying.
Where they kind of, the tip of the leaf kind of curls in on itself and it's got a little bit of
a bract.
Excuse me.
Wow.
The tip of the bract. What am I
leaf?
Saying?
Who is this guy?
Has this sort of like wave shape mm-hmm. in the middle of it, like a yep. wave tunnel.
Totally.
And it's got pink around the edges, and it looks like they're bleeding.
It almost looks like there's a little twirl at the end there. Like
yeah.
they kind of just go...
Just yeah. a nice little touch.
That's about right. And then the other thing, there's bracts. Usually the dogwood from the Pacific, that one's going to have about 6 to 8 petals, or bracts rather.
Oh, really?
Me. Whereas the Coosa and the Eastern Flowering uh-huh. almost always has 4.
Wow, good to know. That's a great... I love these ID tricks where like, this is always going to be this. Mm-hmm. This is always going to be this. Look at that first.
That's exactly it. Once you can basically say, I know this is a dogwood. Yeah. Now you just have to go through the 1, 2, 3s of which one it would be at any given point in time.
Wonderful.
There you go.
Well, Casey, I hate to say it. I have a feeling this is where... your praise of the dogwood ends and where the criticism portion of our show begins.
Well, this show wouldn't be completely arbitrary unless I had some very arbitrary opinions.
That's right.
About what maybe should be planted here instead of a goddamn dogwood.
Those opinions and more after the break. We'll be right back. We're completely arbitrary. Casey.
Hi, Alex.
You know something about me?
I do.
And you do know this. That I love to be cozy.
Yes, that is very true. Unfortunately, I have to get you out of your bed to do work, you know, because our studio here is small.
Yeah, Casey physically drags me out of bed every morning, and you know what?
Slap a pair of headphones on.
And you know what I'm sleeping on, Casey?
What are you sleeping on today, Alex?
My brand new Cozy Earth bedding.
Oh, Alex, I heard about this.
And you know what I'm sleeping in?
What?
My brand new Cozy Earth jogger set.
Ooh, hold on. Let me get a feel of that. Not your sheet. I'm getting my own sheet.
That's right.
Ooh, this is smooth.
Casey is wrapped in his new Cozy Earth bedding. Now, Casey just returned from Italy.
Just got back.
Land of soft fabrics.
Exactly.
And he has waiting for him products from our brand new sponsor, Cozy Earth. Casey, what do you think?
This is incredible. I don't think I've ever felt something so soft and so like, I don't know. It feels silky and smooth and it looks beautiful.
It's true, Casey. And you know what? I have been sleeping in my Cozy Earth clothing.
Well, Alex, have you noticed anything about your sleep?
I have been sleeping so well. And here are some things I love about sleeping in my Cozy Earth bedding and my Cozy Earth clothes.
Yeah.
This is no longer officially an ad. This is just me talking.
Hey, let everyone just come on in. Just come on in here.
Casey, it is temperature regulating, so I no longer have any problems with getting too warm, getting too cool, having to get up and shut the window, having to get up and open the window, turn the heat on, turn the heat off. I sleep through the night. Soon I'll be eating solid foods, and I have such a good time doing it. Casey, I know you've been traveling, you've been flying, you've been not sleeping in your own bed. I cannot tell you how excited I am for you to try this brand new Cozy Earth bedding.
I cannot tell you how much I agree. Just feeling it, I'm essentially swaddled in a sheet right now, Alex.
That's right,
and
you are.
I cannot tell you how excited. I'm going to wash this. I'm going to throw it on my bed today.
Hell yeah.
So if you want to be as cozy as Alex and I, then go to CozyEarth.com and after you purchase, enter the promo code TREES, T-R-E-E-S, to get 35% off. That's huge.
And Casey, how about this? All of Cozy Earth's products come with a 100-night sleep trial and a 10-year warranty. I don't have that kind of warranty on my tires.
I don't have that kind of warranty on anything.
So go to CozyEarth.com and use promo code TREES for 35% off. Now go and get cozy.
Yeah, you go get cozy now.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Hi, everybody. It's Alex here. And you know what? Come springtime, those trees are a-blooming. Those people are a-walking around. That sun is a-shining. And it makes me so grateful for my social life. People are wanting to do things again. And it can be extremely rewarding to start to see friends more often and, you know, go on cute friend dates or romantical dates, sit on a patio and drink a coffee, ooh la la. But it's really easy to overdo it. And for me, it's very important to keep an eye on my social battery. Every time I go on a social outing, I come home and I'm like, wow, I am really tired in a very specific way. Well, that's my battery. That's my social battery being drained. And I didn't really have this language until I started going to therapy. I didn't know why being around people made me so exhausted, even though I love those people and enjoy being around them. But therapy helped me with my self-awareness and helped me unlock some language that I didn't otherwise have. And if you are struggling with feelings and thoughts that you don't understand, therapy can be a great way to unlock the power of understanding. And a great way to start is BetterHelp. It's completely online and it's designed to be super convenient and flexible, which is very important. How many times have you had a therapy session on the calendar and that time rolls around and you think, I gotta drive all the way across town. I am not gonna go. It has, of course, happened to me. I'm sure it's happened to everybody who's been in therapy. No worries with BetterHelp. It's all online. And all you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire. You get matched with a licensed therapist, of course. And nobody nails it on their first time. It's like going on dates. You gotta find the right therapist for you. It's silly to think that the very first date you ever go on is going to be your future spouse. So you can switch therapists at any time, no additional charge. It's extremely easy. So find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/trees today to get 10% off of your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/trees. Happy spring. Welcome back. We have teleported through time and space. We are back in my studio. Our studio, excuse me.
The studio.
This is my studio apartment, but this is our recording studio.
Studio. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
Casey, what a wonderful time we had traipsing through our imagination portals.
Yeah, I feel refreshed, honestly.
I do too. And also, Casey.
Yes, sir.
Are you ready for some Croson's homegrown trivia?
Oh, I sure am. Let's see what you got here.
All right. let's do the damn thing.
Let's get it. Let's get into it. Let's get deep.
I like starting with etymology.
Yes,
because in a way, that's the perfect place to start.
I do agree entirely.
So dogwood does. I have some sad news.
Yeah,
doesn't come from a dog.
I thought it didn't.
You thought it didn't?
I thought that it did not. Like, oh, I think yeah. It's one of those things, like, if it does, there's usually some obvious way.
Right.
And
it
I've,
does not.
I've never heard of an obvious way of what dogwood come from, has come from.
I had hope in my heart.
Yeah.
But it's actually from dag.
Dag?
Yes. Like, dag as in a sharp object, like a dagger.
Huh.
In medieval times. Because the wood, here's something you should know about the wood before we talk about any of this. The wood is extremely hard.
Yes, I know that. It's really, really strong hardwood.
Yes, this is hard, hard, hard wood. Like a pain in the ass to work with wood.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was used to make daggers in the Middle Ages.
Gotcha.
And dag is just a word that means sharp object. It could also make skewers for meat.
Interesting.
Because its name literally means hard wood.
Yeah.
Like hard, sharp wood.
It's dogwood or like dagger wood or like, I gotcha.
Exactly.
I really wish we stuck with that. That'd be cool.
Oh, yeah, dagger wood.
Dagger wood tree.
Yeah, man.
Look how beautiful it is.
We should maybe start calling them that.
Yeah, I like that. I think I'm going to call it that from now on.
Let's do it.
It's a dagger wood tree.
New arbitrary petition.
Yeah, it reminds me of a friend of the pod, Dags, my friend. She plays Frisbee. Her nickname's Dags. I don't know where that came from.
Shout out to Dags.
I don't know if she actually makes daggers.
Makes daggers.
I'll ask.
She is a human dagger.
She is. I mean, she's a very good Frisbee player, so maybe.
Oh, she cuts through the air to catch those Hail Marys.
Yeah, that's it, Alex. Let's move on.
So Cornus, which is the dogwood genus.
Yes.
Cornus means in Latin horn.
Oh.
Also, a cornus was an ancient Roman brass instrument. You would see this often used in gladiatorial arenas.
Okay.
To communicate things to troops.
Oh.
Just this big, loud horn.
Weird.
Now, Casey.
Yeah.
I searched for why cornus horn is used for the genus of dogwood.
Weird.
I found nothing, and maybe somebody can help me. So maybe I just had a blind spot. There was a link that was left unclicked somewhere. Any ideas?
I don't have any idea.
Okay.
The one thing I initially thought of is that maybe they carved horns out of it because it was so hard.
Like a hunting horn?
Yeah,
potentially.
Something like that.
Yeah.
The other idea that maybe like is it's when they're in bloom, they're like such a loud tree. That maybe everyone's like, yes, the tree is so loud, it's as if it's a horn yelling that spring is here.
I like this. This is creative thinking.
Maybe
that's good.
It. Okay.
All right. Well, if you have any ideas out there in listening land, let us know.
Yeah.
Casey, a side note, there's also a species of sea snail called Drupella cornus.
Drupella cornus. I'm going to look this up.
The horn droop. And I thought this was an interesting intersection of trees and animals.
It is, yeah.
Because not only is it cornus, which is the dogwood genus, but a droop, the horn droop, droop is a type of fruit.
Which is opposite, though, because usually a droop would have a hard outside or a soft outside with a hard inside.
Yes.
This is the exact opposite. It's a hard shell with a squishy little mollusk on the inside.
Interesting.
Wait. Snails aren't mollusks. Sorry, I take that back.
Whoa.
Are they? I think they might be.
Write to us. There's no way to tell.
There's someone out there who's pulling their hair out. Cool.
So the wood used from the dogwood is mostly going to be sapwood because the tree is mostly sapwood.
Yeah.
Very little heartwood in dogwoods. Maybe that's a common thing for trees.
I don't know. Well, some do, some don't.
Okay. The wood itself, extremely, extremely hard. I cannot stress that enough. It's got a kind of a cream color, sort of maybe pale pink.
Yeah, like a pale tan kind of is what I see usually.
Yeah.
I have seen the pale pink, though, many times. In the middle, that would be kind of what the hard center heartwood would look
like. Yeah,
okay. These trees don't get that big, so they don't develop that crazy heartwood the way you'd see in, say, a walnut or something
like
that.
Sure, or like a big-ass oak tree.
Yeah, precisely.
so because it's so hard, this wood is in the woodworking world, Casey, mm-hmm. which is something that I'm interested in doing, but I will never be able, I will never have the space, time, or money to get into woodworking.
Okay.
But it's a dream of mine.
Yeah. Maybe we should just put you in a class so you have to go like once a week.
I would love that.
Okay, cool. I'll look into it.
Thanks, Mom.
Yeah.
So they're good. This wood is really good for small, hard things. We're talking loom shuttles.
Okay.
You know what a loom is?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The shuttle part of the loom.
I don't know what the shuttle part is.
It's this is a piece that moves back and forth. I think. The little thing you comb back and forth.
Oh, okay, gotcha, gotcha. Loom.
Tool handles.
Yeah, because you have to be hard, right?
Definitely. Yeah. I found roller skates, oddly enough. I guess the bottoms, like the soles of the roller skate.
Yeah, I see.
Walking canes. Wow. Nice and sturdy. Bows and arrows.
I heard about bows and arrows. They would be used often because they're also very hard and flexible.
Yes.
Whether if it's not very flexible, but enough that it's not going to break and it has that stretch like a U, then you end up getting this a very good tension on your bow so it can shoot things really far.
Use the best bow trees in the world.
Yes, they are.
Dulcimers, fine inlays, so like really intricate work because it's not going to just fall apart on you. It's so fucking hard.
Totally.
Golf club heads.
Whoa, I can see that.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Mallets, piano keys, cabinets, anything that you just want to beat the shit out of.
Yeah, or something that just needs to be real hard. For a long time. You don't want it to break or break down.
Precisely.
I see. The dags.
If we're talking indigenous uses, the bark is very rich in tannins, used in traditional medicine as a substitute for, help me with this word.
Yes.
Quinine?
Oh, quinine.
Quinine.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. Treatment for malaria.
Yeah. It's also been used for, its bark has a little bit of, I'm going to say this wrong because I always do, salicylic acid.
You did it great.
Did I?
Yes.
Yes. So if you actually are feeling you got a little bit of a stomach ache or a fever or something like that, it's not as potent as what you'd get in a willow, but you can make a tincture or something out of it, and that also is something you can take. I think you can also use the leaves a little bit in that, kind of crush them up, and then you can get yourself a little bit of relief from anything that's really fever and chills.
Yeah.
The bark, inner bark and the leaves, I think, were used specifically for those teas.
Yes, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, the bark also makes great brown dye for clothing.
Yeah, that's honestly something that I was kind of surprised about. So you can drink it and it'll help you, or you can turn it into a dye and it will dye something.
Like that blue Sonic curry.
Oh, yeah.
That was like making people have like blue diarrhea.
That's horrific. I never tried that out, so I don't know.
It's one of my greatest regrets.
Oh, geez.
I've never had it. So yeah, Casey,
your regret is not having it.
That's exactly right.
You
yes.
want to have the blue diarrhea.
Yeah, just for an experience.
Yeah, I guess that's fair.
A good story to mix it up.
Honestly, my diarrhea is really boring, so I really want to like spice it up a little bit.
Oh boy. Well, that's my homegrown trivia plucked straight from the garden of Wikipedia.
Well, there you go.
The U.S. Forest Service. Well, Casey, we broke form a little bit today, but we had fun doing it, didn't we?
I think it was great. I really liked it.
And now we dive deep into the hell of this dogwood debate.
Alex, this saddens me.
Why?
Because I love the dogwood. I love it.
It's a good tree.
As I noted, I have a tattooed right here. I love them.
That's right. Casey has a dogwood flower on his wrist.
I do. I have it on my wrist. My mom's favorite tree is a dogwood. Oh. It's half the reason I got this. And here's the thing. Enough is enough. And I have explicit reasons why I feel this way.
Shameful.
It's not shameful, Alex. It is very shameless. Here's the thing. You know me. I'm an urban forester. I'm an arborist. I work out in the cities.
Uh-huh.
And I have a passion for planting trees and developing and growing and maintaining and managing a landscape that is in and around urban areas that actually accomplishes something.
Yes.
The reason I didn't do landscape architecture and like continue through into being a landscape architect is because everything was too much like, I want it to look really good. And that's it. Like, it was all about, like, how can you make a really big, beautiful design? And it was lacking. And I know there's plenty of really good landscape architects who don't do this, but there were so many that didn't pay attention to the function of that landscape as much as they should have. Whereas like, it'll be beautiful, just plant it and call it good. Whether or not you're like, well, you're planting this tree or this plant or whatever it is because it looks good on your design on paper, but it doesn't actually function like that. Whether it's like a path. Have you ever had this happen, Alex? Where you'd walk down a path. The path goes to the left. Clearly, the direct route is just going to the right. Maybe like the path diagonals up, and then you'd have to take a sharp right to go back. But then many people just cut through that section.
Yeah.
That is poor design.
Yeah.
At its finest.
Yeah.
Poor design is that. That is when the people are telling you, this is stupid. Do it
right.
different. So in a city, I think that we should be designing things. Everything is designed. Everything in a city has been designed. Or maybe a lack of design, someone just kind of put it up, right? Mm-hmm. But now we're figuring out, okay, we know all these things. We're very smart. We've done a lot of research. We know what is the best, what is not the best. So we have things like tree codes that say you must plant a tree here. We also have things in the tree code that say, well, if you remove a tree, you have to replant a tree, right?
Right.
Good thing, yeah?
Smart.
Would you agree?
Yes. Take a penny, leave a penny.
There you go. Take a penny, leave a penny. Now, describe to me exactly, what is the worth of one penny?
Gosh. It depends if we're going metaphorical or not, Casey.
No, strictly not metaphorical. This question is exactly as easy as it sounds.
1 cent.
Correct. Now, if you take a penny and you then leave another penny, or vice versa, you leave a penny and then later take a penny.
Sure.
Is that exactly equal?
It is.
It is precisely so, right?
Uh-huh.
So that is what we're talking about, why I hate dogwoods. Great.
There's the sound clip.
There it is. Right now, in a city, have tree. Alex is like, what? What did I do? What did I just get trapped? Just to be clear, Alex didn't. I did not lead that metaphor. That you brought that up, and it's exactly perfect.
Well, we're good partners.
We're good partners. So, if right now in the city of Portland, for instance, if you cut down a tree on private property or in the street, you have to plant a new tree. They have all these different caveats. If you can't exactly, there's ways to do other things. But for all intents and purposes, in 90% of the cases, you cut a tree down, you have to replant a new tree.
Great.
Perfect. Now, most of the time these days, what is happening is somebody is cutting down a big tree. For whatever reason, maybe they just think, trees are, I just don't like this tree. It's messy. I want more room. You name all these what I would call, and I'm going to vociferously restate, stupid fucking reasons. You want to cut down this big, nice tree. Maybe it's a Douglas fir. Maybe it's a cedar. Maybe it's a big leaf maple.
Horse chestnut.
Maybe it's a horse chestnut. Maybe it's an oak. Maybe it's a normal chestnut. Maybe it's an elm. You name it. A tree that is like one of those big, famous big trees.
Yeah.
Wherever you are, there are those big, famous trees.
Which we're blessed to have.
We're blessed to have them. And I mean famous in like everyone knows when you say linden or maple or oak. You have this vision of this big thing in your head.
Right.
So we are cutting those down as a society, as an area, as a community, at a rate that is outstanding. Portland just put out a thing. They lost like 800 acres of tree canopy over the last, I think, 5 years or so.
Wow, from cutting down big trees.
From just cutting down, either a bunch of small trees or one big tree.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, you're exactly right. Most of it's big trees.
Damn.
So, when I was working for the city, constantly, these are what people would do. Yeah, they would cut down all these trees for whatever reason, development, personal, private, who cares?
Yeah.
Then it said, well, you must replant a tree. You must now leave a penny for the penny you are taking. at least that's how it's presented. So then people would say, oh, great, dogwood.
This is where I thought we were going.
This is where we're going, Alex.
All right.
So let me just say, every time I saw that, and you'd go out and you'd look at the permit and you'd have to be like, yep, meets the requirements. They can cut this tree down.
Yeah.
What are they planting? Oh my God, a dogwood. I'm so angry with that.
Like, so the thing here,
I bristle at the thought.
Dogwoods in a vacuum.
Yep.
We adore.
Amazing trees.
Yes. But no tree exists in a vacuum.
No tree exists. Thank you, Alex, for saying that.
You're quite welcome. unless we're talking, you know, Christmas tree needles after you take the tree down, you've got to vacuum up that carpet.
Yeah, yeah, that whole different story.
Forgive me. So we go out in the real world, and dogwoods are no longer daddy's special child.
No, they're not.
They are just fucking everywhere and replacing
exactly
some big majestic trees, a variety of big majestic trees.
Oh my God, yes, Alex.
I understand it, Casey.
And this is why I have such an antagonistic feeling towards him. Keep in mind, earlier, like I think 5 minutes ago, I said I love dogwoods. I love them to death.
Yeah.
I think they're one of the most beautiful trees that we have been blessed to have on this earth.
Sure.
I think they are enough. Enough is enough.
Yeah.
You plant them, but if you plant one dogwood, you need to plant one other big, gigantic growing tree right next to it.
These are my feelings toward Lin-Manuel Miranda.
if you have enough Lin-Manuel.
Listen, you're extremely talented, but you're in everything.
You're everywhere. So let me give you a quick rundown as to why I think this is not only a thing that is like, oh, good, you know, you've seen enough. We did our walk today, and almost everywhere you looked at any given aspect ratio, there were three or four dogwoods in our view.
Yes, we counted once, and we stopped on the sidewalk, and we counted the number of dogwoods we could see in our 360 view. And it wasn't it like 12 or 13?
I think it was up there, yeah. Normal city block. Like, there was nothing special about where we were.
Yeah.
So, those trees were growing where there could be other big, gorgeous trees. And we stopped and we looked at some oak trees that were massive. We looked at some magnolias that were massive. Mm-hmm. We looked at some, an elm and a horse chestnut. There were these big, massive trees. And we're looking at them. They're doing a bunch of work. The London plane tree. Three trees that were taking up essentially an entire, like, quarter block worth of space. If it was three dogwoods in those same places, it would be, they would pale in comparison. It would be, they would be so out of place. They would be so dimensionally just off scale.
Sure.
That you'd be like, why didn't we plant something more like massive there?
Yeah.
You know? And that is what I see so often walking through the streets, where someone is able, or for whatever reason, they just want to remove this big, gigantic tree, which is usually out of some fear or some misguided idea of what is right, or, you know, is this safe? Is this not safe? When then someone's like, I can make a lot of money cutting this tree down. I'm gonna say it's not safe, you know?
Does that happen?
Oh, yeah, all the time.
Corrupt arborists out here cutting down trees they don't need to?
Many, 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 many of them.
Damn.
Yeah, it's really frustrating. There's one company in Portland that does that all the time.
Really? Yeah, you want to call them out?
Oh, yeah, totally. What is it? Urban Forest Pro.
Wow.
Yeah, that's their company name.
Is pro in quotes, Casey?
No, but it should be. It really should be. So this is my hot take. I don't work for the city anymore, and I have nothing really. I won't disparage them. I'm sure they're good people, and they have certified arborists and all these things. But I find their work practices less than savory. They will say, "Here's the letter of the law. You can do this," and then they will help encourage people to do it. When it's like, it's not. There's nothing causing any problems, but they can make money if they cut that tree down. So they'll make sure that you know you're in your rights to cut that tree down.
Yeah.
So they kind of encourage trees to be cut down. Damn. So that they can make money, rather than saying, no, that's a good tree. You shouldn't do this.
Damn.
Yeah. So I worked with them lots of times, and it's like, yeah, you guys are just, you're not doing anything wrong, but you're not doing anything too right either.
So they're not like breaking any laws or...
No, they always get their permits.
Shit, man.
Yeah, it's really frustrating.
That's awful.
Well, so that's the big thing. So I'm going to give you a quick list real fast. And this is just going to be why it's important that trees are actually around. Like, this is just a quick me thinking, writing down one after another, the ecosystem services that trees provide. They provide stormwater interception and retention. They keep water from going into the ground. As soon as it goes to the ground into a drain, it has to be treated before it goes back out into our rivers.
This is just trees in general?
This is just trees in general, but specifically urban trees growing anywhere inside the city
right
now. On the street trees kind of thing. So they do that, which helps reduce a whole bunch of flooding and pollution issues. They also absorb pollution just straight from the air. It also lands on their leaves. Their leaves then fall off many times, or water runs off of them, and then it goes into the ground where microbes and things can take care of it.
Lovely.
They help mitigate the heat island effect by shading buildings, roads, and air conditioning the air.
Love it.
So that's a great thing. We experienced that today walking.
That's right.
We just literally from one side of the road to the other, and it was like we're in the furnace, or we're like very comfortably walking in the shade.
Would you say that was like a 10 degree difference?
I would say easily. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, very easily.
It was significant.
So they also de-stress people. You also notice.
100%.
Feels really good. They slow down vehicle traffic. If you have big trees over the top of a street, people are less likely to go down that street really quickly.
Interesting.
Yeah, there's traffic calming that happens with trees.
Wow.
They send off those tiny little volatile organic compounds that produce all those positive benefits in people. All the things that are like, that help you calm, that like de-stress you, that make you like, ooh, like reset your brain a little bit. Kind of like sleeping. No one's really sure exactly what happens, but your body repairs itself.
Yeah.
Same thing. Like people say, go out into the woods and then come back. You'll feel different, even though you did nothing different than be in the woods versus not in the woods.
Sure.
So those are all like these smells that we don't even know we're smelling, but it has this like subconscious and psychedelic effect on us.
Okay. I guess.
I'm going to use those terms.
I think that's fine.
They break up, this is my term again, and I'm reading a list that I wrote historically, or wrote when I was doing my notes.
Okay.
Because I wrote out everything. When I do like rants like this, and I'm like, what am I going to talk about today? I start writing, 16 paragraphs later, I'm like, oh shit, I got to stop.
This thing's got to be an hour long.
Yeah. And so I said, quote, they break up vicious, harsh urban lines and surfaces with organic shapes, colors, and textures.
Yeah, I've never really thought about it that way, but you're right.
It really makes things a lot less intense, like very, very calming.
Yes.
They also provide habitat for all manner of life aside from humans and make our habitable areas more tolerable in and of themselves.
Wonderful.
So this is just a quick list I thought of. There's plenty more.
Yeah.
And they can get way more intense too. If you have a big tree, science has shown that the larger the tree, the more exponentially increased these services are, or are provided. Maybe that's okay. How I should phrase that. Bigger tree, exponentially more services than a smaller tree.
Cool.
So if we cut down a 3 foot, let's say 2 foot diameter oak tree, that oak tree at 2 feet diameter is probably 60 feet tall and 40 feet wide in the canopy. A 2 foot wide or 2 foot diameter dogwood is maybe 25 feet, 30 feet tall, and maybe about the same wide.
Mm-hmm.
And it is not doing anything other than, I will give it the credit, looking absolutely pants shittingly stunning. But that's it. That is it. It does other things. Like it has that. So my biggest question is, should we, against all these other benefits that you can get if you planted big trees, which also have very beautiful flowers. There's plenty of those that I could give you options of.
The
right
horse
now.
Chestnut we saw today.
It's a perfect example, yep. Alex. Those, should we be saying, let's remove those and then just be okay with planting little dogwoods and little cherries back because we are not getting that, as you said, one penny left, one penny taken. The cutting and then planting, cut a tree, plant a tree, is not a one-to-one equal cent for cent.
Wow.
Not by a long shot.
Take a 20, leave a penny.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Now, theoretically, that penny could appreciate to get to the size of a 20.
Sure.
But that's going to take 80 years.
Just put it in some water.
Exactly. That's all you got to do. Give it a little soil. It's going to be okay.
In about 3 weeks, it'll be a nickel.
Man, I wish that's how money works.
That'd be incredible, huh?
So, yeah, you could do that. If you leave that new penny, it could grow. If you plant, if that is an oak penny, you're going to get a big oak in a long time. But it's going to take a long time.
You know, if money did work that way,
yeah.
Instead of putting it under your mattress, you'd want to put it under your waterbed.
Yeah. Oh, Alex. Yes, you would. keep it nice and moist as he rubs his face in disgust with his own joke. Anyway, so this is my take. I think they're very beautiful trees. I think they're amazing trees.
Before you get into that, yes. I want to get into our review of the dogwood.
Oh God, okay,
because
you're
right. We're basically there.
Well, before we do the review, uh-huh. Do you want to comment on my hot takes? It's been a lot of rant so far.
I think I'm gonna comment on them in my review.
Okay, perfect.
I think that's what feels right to me.
That sounds good.
And here's how we do it. We're going to give some final thoughts about Casey's opinions and the dogwood. And then give it a rating, the dogwood, of 0 to 10 Golden Cones of Honor. Casey, as our resident expert, we will continue with you.
I am going to give this a 6.9.
Okay.
6.9 right off the bat because they are amazing trees.
Yeah.
They're amazing trees. I find them to be some of the best things to find when you're out in the woods. You're walking around and all of a sudden you're like, oh my God, there's a dogwood. Yeah. It's almost like you stop and there's like a wild animal just right there.
Totally.
Just right in the sunshine with these little things coming right up. I think that is so much fun. They're so beautiful. And they're also understated. They will grow in the woods like this and then they'll just be like, and they'll disappear back into the wood ether. And you'll be like, what kind of tree is that? I don't know. Leaves are kind of funny. Yeah, moving on. You don't pay any attention to it. You think it's an alder. You think it's something else. But then when it blooms, it's unmistakable.
Yeah.
But it doesn't ask for anything. It's not trying to be the biggest, the tallest. It's not trying to do anything. It's just trying to like, hey, I'm just going to stun you. Like I'm gonna walk out and be like, and then it's just going to be quiet for the rest of the year. I think that's fantastic. However, we have given it such a pedestal that it needs to be knocked off that pedestal.
Mm.
If you plant a dogwood, which you should emphatically, plant it under next to a gigantic other tree. As that tree gets large, the dogwood will grow underneath and around it and with it, and you'll end up getting like this really beautiful like whole conglomeration of leaf. Some leaves are doing really good work. Other leaves are doing no work at all, but they bloom and they're really beautiful. So I'm giving it a 6.9 because I can't take it up to 7, even though I really wish I could, but I have to stick with it, Alex.
6.9 Golden Cones of Honor for the dogwood from dendrologist Casey Clapp.
Exactly. If we only planted one every now and then, I bet you it'd be up in the 9s.
Wow.
Yeah, seriously.
That sounds like a people problem.
Yeah, exactly. This is a people problem tree.
Wow.
Anyway, Alex, I'm sorry. I will be quiet for the next 2 minutes.
Right. Oh my God, he's going to do it. let me just take my time here. Oh, Casey is turning off his microphone. Incredible. Casey, I love the dogwood. What can I say? But I also kind of agree with you. I do want you to talk with me. I feel strange having the stage by myself here. This is Casey's shaking his head. No, he's counting down the seconds. All right, whatever. So we were on our walk today, Casey, recording a Patreon episode, and I was, you know, you brought me to this specific neighborhood because there are so many dogwoods, and it was kind of an anagram for the rest of Portland, like. Portland's fucking filled with dogwoods. This is a very high concentration of dogwoods in this one neighborhood. We walked around. Oh, there's a dog. Oh, wow, they're so beautiful. After about maybe 40 minutes or so, every time we saw a dogwood, I was like, right, okay, another dogwood. Yeah. And I said to you, I said out loud, I'm kind of sick of them. There were plenty of trees, but dogwoods were fucking everywhere. And every time we turned on a new street, oh, there's 6 more dogwoods. However, they're really gorgeous. I think they're extremely delicate looking. They're very graceful trees. The way that they kind of grow up and out, and I feel like more often than not, I see them sort of heavy on one side. They kind of have, I imagine, sort of like a dancer making a pose. You know, they're really beautiful trees, and their shape is is gorgeous, and their flowers are gorgeous, and their leaves look very plain. If you just kind of glance at them, we took a closer look today. They're extremely unique looking. Those acuminate veins. I am going to be sort of in your realm, but I'm giving it that push over the edge that you refuse to give it. I'm going to go 7.0. I had Casey dunk his head in a tank of water during that.
I couldn't breathe the whole time. Alex, I almost went for 3 minutes. I just wanted to share.
Wow.
Thinking about him as a dancer, that's really nice. I you were moving your body in a way that I was expecting you to say that. So I was really happy. Like, your arms were up and you're like, they kind of like, it's like they're dancing.
Yeah, yeah.
I completely agree. I think they are. But you know how I think we also described their whole foliage as a cotton candy pink. Yeah.
Yeah,
so I think that's the same thing. Like, you know, you see so many of them, you get a little sick. I think that is how it feels like when you're eating cotton candy.
Yeah,
like the first one you're like, yeah, actually I really don't like cotton candy, 100% period.
Yeah, cotton candy's gross. What's a candy you do? You like Sweet Tarts, right?
No, not even Sweet Tarts, just Smarties.
Smarties,
big fan of Smarties.
That's right.
Yeah, if you send me Smarties, I'll probably not eat them because I'm a little bit afraid that someone's gonna send something crazy.
I like Smarties, anthrax pressed into the shape of
yeah,
Smarties.
Exactly. Yes, we'll get him. Yeah, we got a lot of listeners out there who are going to be pissed off that I don't like dogwood so much.
By the way, if you want to send us candy, I'm a big fan of Sweet Tart Ropes.
Ah, Sweet Tart Ropes.
Just the texture alone is incredible. The cherry flavor is really good.
Well, there you go.
Anyway.
Hot take today, Alex, between the two of us here.
Casey, it's a little bittersweet. I think we're going to get some people disagreeing with us. We may get some brave souls coming out of the proverbial closet and saying, yes, I do too think dogwoods are overrated.
I think that's perfect.
And we're not even necessarily saying they're overrated. Overplanted,
just
maybe.
Overplanted. Yeah.
In the place of things that we want more.
Exactly. I think if you cut down a big tree, you have to replant a big tree. And you can also include a dogwood next to it. That's fine. Mm. That's what I say. Unless, as we also noted, the big caveat here, if it's the right tree for the right place and there is no other better tree for that place.
Right.
Or it is one of many right trees for the right place. I think that is just fair. Underneath power lines, for instance. Great choice.
And if you need to hire a consultant on what to plant where, I know a guy.
Yes. Find me at Casey Clapp, Clapp4Trees. Send me an email.
Casey, that was our review of the dogwood, (S). It's time for our completely arbitrary Q&A. This week's question is from Derek Matthew on the Instagram.
Hi, Derek.
Hi, Derek. Derek says, I have an important question.
Okay.
If you were to die and be replanted as a tree, which tree would it be?
Ooh, hold on. I have a follow-up question, Alex.
Okay, Casey?
How about, rather, is this meaning like which kind of tree, if I was in, say, a box, would I be buried in, as in pine box? Or would it be if I was to be buried and then a thing would grow from me, what would that be?
I continue Derek's question. I just went to the Funeral Museum in Houston, and they had a section on being planted as a tree.
Ah, thank you, Derek, for answering the question.
And now I must know what your eternal tree choice would be. So maybe, let's do both. If you were buried traditionally in a casket, what type of wood would you want this casket to be made out of? Mm. And then if you were to be planted in a seedling bag or whatever, what tree would you want to be planted as?
I like the idea of a seedling bag.
What is it called?
I don't know, but I like a seedling bag. Let's just stick with that.
All right.
Yeah. Ooh, this is a good question. Alex, you need to answer this question too, of course.
Yes.
I just want to make sure.
Mm-hmm. I have my answer.
Okay. So, a part of me, I like the idea of like one of those old-fashioned... like sarcophagus things where like you dig it up years later, it never decayed. And you're like, what's inside here? You know, I kind of like that as an idea.
Okay.
Which would make me choose something that like doesn't decay ever, to build it out of that. Only because it's not that I want to last forever by any means. It's more that I like the idea of somehow my remains and whatever is in there to be found someday is like an archaeological interest.
It'd be cool.
Kind of sounds fun.
Yeah.
So in that case,
make it really confusing. So the people in the year 3000 BC are like, they used to, he was half man, half dog. Just look at his burial chamber.
Yeah. Like all these other like weird little notes and things in there. They're like, what is this?
Was
this
make it a mystery?
Was this a priest? I don't know. What's this rope? And like opens up some hidden thing.
Yeah.
Turns out there's, you know, the Constitution has a note on the back. Anyway. So I like that. I like that idea. So I would think, like, what would be a good one? I feel like a juniper or a true cedar, something that just never decays, that you can put in the ground and it'll just stay there forever.
Mm.
I'm trying to think of I think it's just mostly juniper does that, or maybe the Osage orange.
Oh.
That might be fun. Yeah, I think I'm going to take an Osage orange.
Okay.
With an inlay of juniper. Lovely. Just as an extra thing.
That sounds great.
Yeah, what about you?
I have a couple answers for the casket one, and then we'll talk about what tree we'd want to be.
Mm-hmm.
Casket wise, I'm thinking Indian rosewood.
Ooh,
because it's really rare and expensive.
Yeah, okay. You want to be like fancy?
$300,000 worth of Indian rosewood.
You gotta smuggle it in to get what you're going.
But also, I think it would be fun to have my casket be sort of like a puzzle. Like an escape room, but if you want to see what's inside, you got to like, there's like keys hidden in compartments.
It's the opposite of an escape room.
You're trying to escape into my eternal room.
Okay, because I thought maybe it was a fun idea that they made it a riddle so that, like, in case he comes back alive, we don't want him to figure out how to get out of here.
Yes,
so it's a literal escape room. So they're like, we got to make sure that he can't figure out, so make everything a riddle.
When the zombie apocalypse happens, you want to bury each zombie in a riddle box.
Yeah. Oh, don't worry. That one's an idiot. He's never going to figure that one out.
And then, when they finally get it open, my corpse is holding a sign that says like gotcha or something, you know.
Great job.
Yeah, there's no reward.
There's no reward.
But congrats.
The reward is just some decayed piece of dust.
Yeah.
All whoops. Right.
So if you were a tree now, if you were to be planted as a tree, what would you want to be?
Okay. Honestly, I've always imagined a dogwood just because I like the idea of like blooming and flowers being planted. Over the top of something, like you plant and then in the next spring you see this like profusion of beauty and flowers that comes in a place that is normally somewhat, you know, morose and like people are very sad about cemeteries.
Yeah.
But I don't think they need to be. It is, you know, on a personal level, but on a macro level, they're a place of sort of this remembrance and sort of like honoring our ancestors to some extent.
Yeah.
So the tree that I would like want, and I have to, I guess, pick one. I guess what I should say is I would love to be buried in a way that you plant me in the ground and then fucking you get a whole ecosystem that pops up around that. So I guess in that regard, it wouldn't even be a flowering tree at all. It would probably be something like a Western red cedar, where quintessentially known as the tree of life. That I think would be a tree that you could plant. It's going to live forever, so essentially I'm living forever. And it also, as it gets big and old and falls apart, it becomes a really, really fantastic bit of ecosystem in and of itself. Especially if it can live, you know, for 800,000 years, that's when they really start to thrive.
Right on.
So maybe I believe that's I think that's what I'd probably do.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What about you?
I'm kind of with you. I was thinking like I would love to be something that will one day fall over and turn into a nurse log.
Oh yeah, that would be beautiful.
So a Western red cedar is not a bad one.
Not a bad one, but the Western hemlock is.
Yep.
But then again, they grow on things. They are the nurse.
They are the nursed log.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah.
Or maybe like I what might be nice too is like a big black walnut. Just something really big and majestic and something that, you know, a future generation might love and, yeah. and be like, you know, sit under or attach a swing to or
that
something.
That's so perfect. That's exactly such a lovely thing to think about. Like,
and the more you get, you know, the more that humans interact with it, the more chance I have of like using my spirit to communicate with them.
Yeah, exactly. And be like, H B Q W. What? Who said that?
Is that a code?
Yeah, it's a code on how to get
my
in,
escape
yeah,
room
to get into your
coffin.
Escape room. To get into your in it's not an escape, it's escape into break-in coffin.
Sure.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway.
I'm going to call it my puzzle box.
Yes, okay, your puzzle box.
Alex's puzzle box of fun.
That would be great if you got that on your gravestone with just an arrow pointing down.
The first clue on the gravestone.
Yeah, it's just some code with an arrow pointing down. Yeah. Man, someone would dig that up so fast.
That's a lot of fun.
I like that. That is fun.
Thank you, Derek, for your question. I loved that one. I saw it last week, and I thought, we got to do that.
Yeah, we definitely do.
If you have a question for us about trees, email us at arbitrarypod@gmail.com. That's arbitrarypod, pod@gmail.com. If you want to support the podcast with your money, join us on Patreon, patreon.com/arbitrarypod. You can join the Arboretum for 2 bonus episodes a month about other related topics in trees, or the coveted Cone of the Month Club, and receive a unique die-cut cone sticker illustrated by an independent artist in your mailbox every month. We're on like month 15 or something.
Yeah, I think it's 15. This is the giant sequoia month.
Yeah, that's right.
This is just so beautiful. It's so well done.
Yeah. It helps us a lot. It helps the pod keep going. And it helps us do bigger and cooler things.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So if you listen to this and you think, huh, this is worth $5, maybe consider the Patreon.
Yeah, yeah, that would be excellent. Yeah. Yeah. Otherwise, just keep on tuning in every week. We'll keep putting them out.
That's right. Always for free. Always.
For tree.
Yay!
All right, we gotta go.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Completely Arbitrary. We'll see you next time. Bye!
Au revoir, everyone. Completely Arbitrary is produced by Alex Croson and Casey Clapp.
Our artwork is by Jillian Barthold, and our music is by Aves and the Mini Vandals.
And you can support the podcast at patreon.com/arbitrarypod.
And find additional readings at completelyarbitrary.com. Thanks for listening.